Welcome to the Insider Worldbuilding Podcast, the place to experience life in another dimension, told from the perspective of a visitor to that dimension. I'm Fox Keys, that visitor is me, that dimension is called Dunaree, and I have lived here since I was tricked into passing through an interdimensional gateway just after my 14th birthday. Not only do I wish to share the story of how I survive in Dunaree, I hope my experiences and how I was taught to understand this world may help you build your own unique secondary world. In this episode, I learn more about the Dunaree spirit world. I explore how spirits are essential to world building. And the strange but true tells the story of how the trend for spirit pets originated. This episode is sponsored by Death Wish Funeral Services. Death Wish will send your departed loved ones through the Great Spirit Gateway in style. From bottling their cremation smoke to converting their cremation ash to fertilizer, and just about anything in between, Death Wish offers an unparalleled funeral experience. For an extra fee, they'll even ensure your loved ones can never return. Okay, well, that fits in well with this episode's theme of spirits. Let's move on. I hate talk about funerals. Up until the point I had met Ghost Cat number 24, I had encountered numerous spirits. But my head was so full of all the other stuff in Dunaree, I never thought much about how these spirits fitted into Dunaree society. Yes, I knew about the dead, and the Great Spirit Gateway beneath the city, and that some spirits never passed through it for various reasons. But number 24 had made me think deeper about Steincat and what she must have suffered. It also made me think about spirits in general. Suddenly, it seemed vital that I learn more about them. That opportunity arose when a wisp of a cat ghost passed into my room one morning, handed me a card, and left without saying a word. It was an invitation card, and it said, "Dear Fox, you are graciously invited to attend Steincat's Gathering of Memories. These joined Steincat and all her ghosts in Ganhik's study at noon." Oh, this sounded dodgy. And when I admitted my concerns to Shiny Top, he said, "Go, go. I've wanted to see this for many, many, many years." I said, "Oh, did you get an invitation too? Because I don't see your name on my invite." Shiny Top laughed in the most unfunny way. He said, "I will be your guest. Please, all her ghosts will be there. This only happens once a year. It is to officially welcome the new ghosts to the family, the ghosts formed in the last 12 months. Steincat must like you. Apart from Ganhik, nobody ever gets invited." I remembered something about only 5 ghost cats could ever be alive at any given time. This gathering, according to Shiny Top, was the only time that rule was broken. And gathering in the study made perfect sense. I've never met a cat yet that didn't like a good open fire, and the study had the biggest open fire in the fortress. Yet, despite the open fire, when I took Shiny Top down to the study at noon, the air was chilly. It was, I supposed, something to do with the amount of cat ghosts there. In fact, the room felt packed with them. I tried to count them, but it was impossible when they drifted in and out of each other all the time. I saw cat ghosts with busted heads and busted limbs, missing heads and missing limbs, crushed cats, bloated cats, burn cats, and cats so misshapen it was impossible to tell how they died. I think even number 14, The double coast from the recycling chamber was there too, but it was hard to tell if the mass of shifting furry bits was actually a cat or some kind of ghost dirt drifting about. This was Halloween multiplied by 10,000. Unmistakable as the mother of ghosts, Steincat strutted about, wearing so much gold she resembled a dozen sunbeams trapped in the mirror. Apart from the odd nod or wave, she ignored the spirits, and the spirits ignored her. They chattered, hissed, spat, and wailed at each other. This, of course, could have been a ghost cat version of polite conversation, but some were definitely arguing, and I definitely saw the occasional scrap erupt. I wondered why I was there. As if reading my mind, the first cat I had ever met in the compound, Ghost Cat Number 5, appeared. She said, "Enjoying yourself?" I replied, "Is this a dream?" Shiny Top said, "What a pity a storm wouldn't suck the lot of them up the chimney in a way off." "Jealous," Number 5 said. "Must be hard trapped in that stick, I would imagine." Sensing an argument, I said, "Shiny Top, you are my guest here, so..." Shiny Top said, "So, I'll shut up. I'm practically speechless anyway looking at all this mess." Ignoring him, I studied the room. What a family gathering this was. Cheap, too. And it wasn't like they had to spend much money on food or drink. Actually, they spent nothing. Number 5 handed me a glass of water and a piece of sugar chocolate that, I guess, came from Gantug's kitchen. And the spirits kept coming. When some marched in the door, others drifted through the wall, while one tried to make a grand entrance up through the floor, until a half dozen of the others did a crazy cat dance on her, but she sank away again, only to pass in the door a minute later. "This," Shiny Top said, "is an obscene disregard for the first law of spirits, the non-return from the dead law." It was a pretty self-explanatory law, but it made me wonder about how many other spirit laws there were. Shiny Top said, "The city guard once tried to force this law on Steincat, but these ghosts have done so much important work for so many important people in this city, nobody wants them bothered. So, the chief of the city guard was warned off." Looking at all these drifting figures, I couldn't imagine the countless secrets they knew. It also confirmed Steincat's importance. Society might shun her, but society needed her too, and her ghosts. I said, "It makes sense to have spirit laws." "It does," Shiny Top replied. "There are many spirit laws, but only the spirits and those that enforce them know them all." I said, "Who enforces them?" Shiny Top said, "Ex-city guards, deceased spirit catchers, and the like. They've even got a spirit prison somewhere, with specially designed walls to prevent escapes." "A bit like the walls of your prison," I said. I instantly regretted saying that. Up until then, Shiny Top had been enjoying the dead cat show. Now I had ruined it all by reminding him of his imprisonment. I said, "I'm sorry, I didn't really mean it." Shiny Top made a little sound that could have been a laugh or a sob. He said, "Ganhook will find a way to release me. Someday." "Of course," I replied. "And I sure hope you're not going to drift away then. I would miss you." Shiny Top did laugh properly then. He said, "I will be reunited with my body. You will experience the true me, and you will respect the true me. Why, I imagine I'll be able to clip your ear whenever you're cheeky." I said, "When that day comes, Shiny Top, I will welcome the pain." Shiny Top had mentioned this idea of his body existing somewhere else before. At first, I thought he was fantasizing, but the more he mentioned it, the less crazy it sounded, I mean, why not? This was Dunary, the world of possibilities. There was an awful big hullabaloo then. Ganhook marched in, leading a small column of ghost cats. New ghosts, I assumed, each as battered as any in the room. All the spirit cats gathered around the newcomers. Steincat fussed over each one in turn. Talk about a narcissist. This show of love was about as genuine as a vampire sipping from a bottle of Pepsi. Once the introduction ceremony was over, many of the spirits in the room came to talk to me. This was no surprise. When you're surrounded by 40 or 50 versions of yourself, I guess the talk got very repetitive very quickly. I was the only novelty there, the only one with some new input for anybody. Steincat ignored me throughout. I caught her glancing my way, though, to ensure I was watching. While I didn't want to stoke her ego by watching, the whole affair was too fascinating not to watch. What next? Would they all form a circle and dance and sing tales of their adventures and how they died? Luckily for my sanity, not much else happened. There were a few more catfights, a bit more socializing, boasting and wailing. Two cats, one charred black and the other flattered in paper, argued over which had died the most horribly. They asked my opinion. But I was too shocked to speak. Shiny Top said, "Each of you died worse than the other." I didn't get his meaning, nor did the cats. They drifted off to continue their argument over by the door. After a while, like tinning smoke, the room cleared. Before long, only me, Steincat, and Shiny Top remained. We moved to the fire and stood in silence. Waiting for someone to say something, I stared into the flames until I imagined I saw faces there. Eventually, Steincat said, "Now you have seen the real me." She sounded tired and sad and empty, like a big part of her was missing. I shivered, partly from the chill still in the room, but mostly from sympathy. I said, "I'm sorry. Sorry for your losses." "Me too," Shiny Top added. The significance of Shiny Top's statement wasn't lost on me. Outwardly, these two disliked each other. On a deeper level, though, things were much, much more complicated. Steincat grinned and said, "Am I lucky? Or am I cursed? It makes little difference, you know. But I'll bet you wish you were like me." I tried to imagine countless versions of myself. Ghost versions. But my imagination failed. It was bad enough arguing with my own conscience at times. Not to mention arguing with countless misty, chattering fox figures. I had no answer to give the cat, so I said nothing. And we just stared in silence into the flames. At least now, though, I felt like I knew her and the Dunary spirit world just that little bit better. Now, after all that kiddie chaos, here's a bit of context on spirits and the laws that might govern them. The first law of spirits in Dunary bans any spirits from lingering or returning. Now, there are dozens of sub-laws connected to this first law, but the basic first law was the foundation on which all the other spirit laws were based. It's a fascinating law, of course. What's even more fascinating is all the ways this law can be broken. Breaking laws creates drama, and drama builds worlds and societies. When you first design your spirit world, base it on the world of the living. After all, the spirits aren't going to suddenly change habits and embrace some new culture just because they're dead. People dislike change. Spirits dislike change too. I mean, just becoming a spirit is change enough for most of them to handle. So, how do you create spirits? Draw on your past experiences. Have you ever been home alone and got the feeling you are not alone? That there is someone or something else in the room with you? Most people have experienced this at some point. But why? It depends on your belief system. Whether you're spiritual, superstitious, easily spooked, or any number of other things. Or maybe it's simply a draft causing something to rattle about somewhere. Regardless of your beliefs, the spirit world has been an element of human evolution since our ancestors first covered their departed loved ones under rocks. The Egyptian pharaohs didn't build the pyramids so we could all take selfies. A world without spirits, or at least the idea of them, is a world diluted of a major aspect of humanity. You need some kind of spirits, and spirits need laws and rules. While they were alive, your future spirit characters couldn't just do what they wanted. Even kings and queens and emperors had restrictions on them. So, why would your spirit characters be allowed to do what they wanted when they were dead? It's inviting chaos. I mean, say two of your main characters like each other. One invites the other around for a romantic dinner at their place. Do they really want the spirit of their old grandfather popping up and listening in because their old grandfather is bored of just drifting around the house? And what kind of spirits could be in your world? A bog-standard ghost story depicts an unhappy spirit tied to a house, unable to move on because they died under unnatural circumstances. This is great stuff to hear around the campfire. But, unless the ghost in question makes an appearance around the campfire, the story is easily forgettable. It is a cliché, but, with some imagination, clichés can be converted into something original. Suppose you have a ghost haunting a house, and the house is demolished and the land turned into a car park. Where does our unfortunate ghost go then? Is she tied to the plot and haunts the car park? Or is she tied to the building materials from the demolished house and haunts any new house this material is used to construct? Or does she just drift off into nothingness? Sure, it sounds crazy, but without any rules that help this poor ghost, it would be even crazier. Not only is this an example of twisting a cliché, it's also an example of the importance of rules. To begin creating spirit rules, think about the basics needed to portray spirits in the first place. Are spirits visible, invisible, or are they a bit of both at times? Maybe certain spirits can only appear at certain times of the day or night. Do they appear, like Steinkat's ghosts, as they died, or can they choose to appear as they wish? Given the choice, if I died from old age, I'd rather return appearing young and fresh instead of old and wrinkly. Another basic rule could determine why they exist. Could they have lingered on out of revenge, or a desire to guide their loved ones, or perhaps they're simply confused as to where they're supposed to go? Perhaps a spirit holds a great secret. She kept the secret while alive. But this secret is vitally important to somebody. So, when she passes away, that somebody invokes a rule to prevent her passing on until she reveals this great secret. A bit of spiritual blackmail, you could call it. Spirit laws can give the living a limited power over the dead. For example, as a deterrent for certain crimes, a criminal spirit might get an additional sentence after the criminal is executed. This happened to Shiny Top. After his execution, his spirit was sentenced to a further 150 years confinement in the hanging tree he was executed on. Also consider how the living think about spirits. Do they welcome them? Are they afraid of them? Would a potential murderer kill his victim if he thought their victim's spirit might return to haunt them? What rules might protect the living from the dead? Whether you have a world crammed with spirits, or a world where they simply exist as rumours, it is definitely an idea to carefully plan out elements of spiritualism in your world-building journey. Staying with the spirit theme, this episode, Strange But True, deals with spirit pets. Although it has never been proven, many in the City of Bones blame the infamous Steincat for the shocking trend of spirit pets that recently swept the city. Nobody knows who was the first pet owner to reclaim their dead pet spirit from the land of animal spirits, wherever that is. But after seeing one of Steincat's cat ghosts, some pet owner somewhere got the idea that when their beloved pet died, their spirit could live on and provide an eternity of pleasure to their owner. This led to the bringing back your pets trend among the wealthier of the City of Bones population. This bringing back your pet, turns out, wasn't that hard to do. After all, the highly illegal practice of bringing back human spirits was well established in the city's backstreets by then. And those scummy, low-life criminal practitioners who did manage to bring back dead human spirits at times embraced the whole pet spirit concept. Firstly, it wasn't illegal because nobody had thought of it before. Secondly, it was unregulated. Thirdly, it was easier to bring back a dumb animal than a smart human. And lastly, it was lucrative. Some people would pay anything to have their beloved pets by their side again. Problems, however, soon arose. While alive, many cats and dogs and other beasts loved their daily walkies, but they detested being in prison in the houses the rest of the time. Once the spirit pets returned and realized that there were no physical barriers preventing their departure, and that they didn't need food or anything else from their owner, many simply passed out through the wall without even saying goodbye. Many owners never recovered from the shock of learning that their pets didn't love them. And the living animals of the City of Bones, especially the street cats, did not adapt well to this influx of spirits. Mayhem ensued. There was no other sight than to see the local tomcat trying to fight a spirit cat, or being chased by a spirit dog through the streets. As the noise levels in the city rose, people complained. Spirit catchers were hired to round up the spirit pets and relocate them deep within the Algot Mountains. Some of the slyer cats, however, remained undetected and have learned how to blend in. The trend for spirit pets continues and evolves, and while it was once a high status symbol to have a spirit pet by your side, what is an even greater sign of your status now is how long you can manage to keep them. Strange indeed, but very, very true. That's it for this episode of the Insider Worldbuilding Podcast. Once again, this show is sponsored by Deathwish Funeral Services. Deathwish will send your departed loved ones through the Great Spirit Gateway in style. From bottling cremation smoke to converting cremation ash to fertilizer, and just about anything else in between you might want, Deathwish offers an unparalleled funeral experience. How very, very grim. Next time I will discuss the Dunerary education system and give some idea on how education systems evolve and how can use them in your world building. And the Strange But True will reveal just how far some schools will go to prepare their pupils for constructive adult life. And please do consider giving the Insider World Building podcast a rating, a review on your podcast app. You can find instructions on how to do this on my website, www.worldofdunaree.com. Bye for now, or as we say in Dunaree, Dreivik.
Again, the wash beetle that he slips on his deal and dick.
Which in a search of it. Which is...